What's up, sunshine? Welcome to the show. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10. We have some of the top news stories from around the world for you this Tuesday, January 6th. Let's get to it. We begin with an update on the situation in Venezuela as details about the country's future begin to emerge after its president, Nicolas Maduro, was taken into custody by U.S. military forces. Vice President Delcy Rodriguez has officially taken on the role of acting president. After initially condemning the capture and removal of Maduro, she has appeared to soften her tone towards the U.S., promoting a, quote, agenda of cooperation during her first Council of Ministers meeting. The shift comes as White House officials are attempting to clarify President Donald Trump's recent comment that the U.S. will, quote, run Venezuela until a proper transition can take place.
It's not running, it's running policy. The policy with regards to this. We want Venezuela to move in a certain direction because not only do we think it's good for the people of Venezuela, it's in our national interest.
Meanwhile, Venezuelan opposition leader Edmundo Gonzalez has released a video referring to himself as commander-in-chief and calling on the military to uphold the results of the 2024 election. Most Western governments acknowledged his victory over Maduro in that contested election.
As Commander-in-Chief, I remind you that your loyalty is to the Constitution, to the people, and to the Republic. This is a historic moment, and we are approaching it with serenity, clarity, and democratic commitment.
His ally, Maria Corina Machado, just won the Nobel Peace Prize for her work as an opposition leader. As questions remain over who will indeed lead the country of more than 30 million people, there is also uncertainty hanging over the oil-rich nation's petroleum industry. Our Rafael Romo has a look at exactly how much oil Venezuela is sitting on and how it could influence the country's future.
How much oil does Venezuela have? According to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, the South American country is sitting on a massive 303 billion barrels worth of crude oil. In fact, Venezuela leads all countries, even outnumbering Saudi Arabia and representing almost 20% of global reserves in 2023. In announcing the capture of Nicolás Maduro, President Donald Trump said that American oil companies are going to invest billions of dollars in Venezuela and fix the badly broken infrastructure. Venezuela is home to the largest proven oil reserve on Earth, but its potential far outweighs its actual output. Venezuela produces only about 1 million barrels of oil per day, which is about 0.8% of global crude production. That's less than half of what it produced when Maduro took control of the country in 2013, and less than a third of the 3.5 million barrels it was pumping in 1998, just before Hugo Chavez and the socialist regime took over. Most of Venezuela's oil, about 68%, is bought by China, followed by the United States with 23% and Spain and Cuba at 4% each. While Venezuelan oil could be particularly beneficial to the United States, it could take years at an incredible expense, as the kind of oil Venezuela is sitting on requires special equipment and a high level of technical prowess to produce.
Now to California, where a series of powerful winter storms have made for a soggy start to the new year in parts of the Golden State. A combination of torrential rain and record-breaking king tides led to flooding in multiple coastal and northern counties, spurring mudslides, flooding roadways, and leaving some drivers stranded. King tides occur when the moon is in its closest position to Earth, creating a stronger gravitational pull. The natural phenomenon left parts of the Bay Area swamped with waters as high as 3 or 4 feet. Officials also forecast up to a foot of snow in the mountains as California endures its wettest winter in years after an unusually dry autumn. I was out west for the Rose Bowl parade last week, and sunny SoCal was soggy. It was only the second time the parade had seen rain in 70 years. Pop quiz, hot shot. What is the world's largest fish market? Billingsgate Fish Market in London, Toyosu Market in Tokyo, La Nueva Liga in Mexico City, or Fulton Fish Market in New York? If you said Toyosu, Yosu right. Formerly known as Skiji, Toyosu handles thousands of tons of seafood daily, and its auctions set the benchmark for global seafood prices. We have a new world record for highest price ever paid for a single fish. $3.2 million, a bluefin tuna sold at Tokyo's famous Toyosu fish market. This monster right here weighs in at 535 pounds. The owner of a popular sushi chain won the prize fish in Tiosu's first auction of the year. He said he hoped to pay a bit less, but the bidding escalated quickly. The tuna was caught in the waters off of northern Japan, which produced some of the finest bluefin in the world. Once threatened by overfishing, bluefin tuna stocks are showing signs of recovery thanks to significant conservation efforts. Music to sushi lovers' ears. In aviation news, our Alexandra Scores has a report breaking down plane de-icing, the process of removing ice, snow, or frost from an aircraft's wings, tail, and control surfaces. She takes us through the whys and hows and explains that this wasn't always a routine safety procedure.
In 1982, a routine flight turned into a national tragedy. Air Florida Flight 90 struggled to take off during a heavy snowstorm in Washington, D.C., and then it crashed moments later. The tragedy exposed a critical weakness in winter operations. In the years that followed, the FAA moved to standardize de-icing and anti-icing procedures across the industry. Today, that responsibility falls to a specialized crew of de-icers. They brave the cold to make winter travel possible. At Chicago O'Hare alone, teams can de-ice more than 300 planes a day, most of them right at the gate.
It's a delicate balance and controlled chaos.
Planes can accumulate thick layers of ice overnight, which can reduce lift on takeoff and increase drag. This can also harm the plane's engines.
It's really cold, the ice might be really stubborn, it might take a long time to get the ice off. So it all depends on the conditions.
This orange liquid is a glycol mixture called type 1 de-icing fluid. It's a hot liquid that melts snow and ice off the plane.
When it's snowing, the whole airplane gets type 1 to get the snow off, and then type 4 to keep the snow off.
Type 4 is a green solution to prevent additional snow from accumulating. Once it's applied, the clock starts ticking before the plane must take off.
The conditions are what dictates how long the anti-icing fluid holds before the fluid fails. And when the fluid fails, the aircraft must be re-de-iced and re-anti-iced.
I think I've de-iced one airplane upwards of 6 or 7 times. The same airplane, the same flight, just because of the way the conditions were.
The pilots ultimately make the call on whether their aircraft is safe to fly.
I just noticed here, they'll have to get this de-iced. Oh, love it. See that? They will take that off. That's just some rime ice. I just noticed that.
It should take only a second to get in there.
If you're delayed this winter, know that crews are working hard to get you safely to your destination.
This next story puts a new spin on the phrase taking a test under pressure, an exam leading to a potential job interview so large it takes place on an airport runway. Drone footage from Sambalpur in India shows thousands of applicants sitting on an airstrip for the first round of a law enforcement recruitment exam last month. With no desks, no chairs, these candidates, they take the exam right there on the tarmac. The exam only requires basic qualifications, and with unemployment being a nationwide problem, huge crowds turn out to take a crack at earning these government jobs. Officials used the airstrip simply because it was one of the only places large enough to host everyone at once. Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, the ice sculptures, ice slides, and icy swims of Harbin's Ice and Snow World. These scenes in northeastern China are not AI. This year marks the 27th and largest edition of the event with the theme, A Fairy Tale World. Aptly named, as you can see, with the towering ice castles, glowing sculptures, and slides that visitors can actually play on.
I think it's so much fun to come here to play. I don't think one day is enough. It would probably take 3 days to get through everything.
The location spans almost 1.4 million square yards. Visitors from across China say experiencing it in person is completely different from watching it online, especially once the lights come on at night. And if scrolling through an ice palace isn't chilly enough, some locals take things to the extreme. As part of the celebration, swimmers plunge into the frozen Songhua River, where temperatures stay well below freezing.
Winter swimming makes us happy, joyful, and healthy. It has become a part of our lives.
So no doubt about it, Harbin's Winter Wonderland takes making cold cool to another level. Now, speaking of cool, we have a shout-out ready for takeoff. Mrs. Blackston's class and all of our friends at Knapp Elementary in Michigan City, Indiana, thank you for this awesome airplane. Even has the little flaps so it can turn and everything. Well done. I missed. I'll keep practicing. Thanks for subscribing and commenting on our CNN10 YouTube channel for your shout-out request. Also, Mrs. Carl's class at Lion Mountain Middle School in Herndon, Pennsylvania, thank you for this silly yet very well-dressed goose. Rise up. Tomorrow is Your Word Wednesday, so submit your unique vocabulary word and submit it the comment section there on my latest post on Instagram at Koi Wire or at CNN10. And we're going to choose a winner to work into tomorrow's show. We have missed scrolling through all of your creative words, so can't wait to see how you captivate, fascinate, enrapture, and beguile us. Let's make it an awesome day. Shout out to our studio audience today. I'm Koi Wire, and we are CNN 10.